Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad that you joined me today. And I just like to continue on in the message that I was sharing, that Jesus, He was the Lord's anointed. The Word says that He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and He came to this earth to break the bonds of oppression. He came to set the captive free. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Him, not only to take away our transgressions, but to give us the power to withstand the whole host of darkness. He came to give strength to the weak, to help the poor and needy, and as children of God, you and I, we have spiritual keys that have been given to us, the power to loose, to power to bind, the keys of the kingdom. Jesus referred to them as He spoke to Peter. And you and I are recipients of the greatest power the world has ever seen or known. The sons and the daughters of God are not just church members. They should be firebrands in His hands to set the fields of the enemy on fire. This is the day of deliverance for multitudes. God is pouring out His Spirit, and you're a part of that move. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you can say, well, Sister Glass, I sure don't feel like it. Well, the devil's doing everything he can to immobilize you, to make you feel ineffective, to make you feel that, you know, just abnegate your place your position, that, you know, what you do really doesn't matter. Those are all lies from the enemy. The point is, we each of us have different tasks. Jesus is the head. So all we have to do is simply obey the Lord for our lives. We don't compare ourselves with one another. We don't look at what Sister Sally or Brother Jim is doing. It really, their work orders are different than yours, than mine. And so all we have, our responsibility is simply to just obey the Lord. And as we do that, then not only will God be pleased with us, we'll have the blessings of joy and peace and the wonderful walk in all the wonderful provisions of His covenant. Praise God. As members of His body in the earth, this is something you may not thought of, that the Lord really depends on you. You know, think of your head. Now, your head controls everything your body does, but what if your hands or your legs refuse to cooperate with your head? What if you wanted to walk and you couldn't? Well, look at it this way. We're His arms. You're His hands, His legs, His feet, His mouthpiece. And if you will walk in this revelation of this knowledge, you will understand that because Jesus, the head, has conquered and become victorious, you also are the victory, are the victor rather, because through the Jesus Christ, you've been given power not only to be loosed, but to set captives free that are bound in darkness, that are bound in chains. Hear God's word echo down through the history as David cries forth, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, He hath desired it for His habitation." Notice what God is saying. Zion typifies the church, and God has chosen Zion for His habitation, His resting place, where He lives. You, brother and sister, you and I and every child of God have been chosen to be a part of that holy building that is fitly framed together, built up of God, made without hands, and made up of lively stones. Psalm 132, 13 and 18 says, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will," listen to this now closely, "I will abundantly abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Praise God. Beloved, as we stand together in unity, as we think as one people, as we pray as one people, as we give of ourselves, of our finances as one people, as we love as one people, we shall be a glorious resting and a resting place and a pleasant place for not only God to dwell, but for people to come into. Think about that. We haven't seen the harvest come in thus far because the church hasn't been that light on the hill as we should be. That light's been dimmed by strife, by bickering, by denominational infighting, all these sorts of things that have not presented a united, loving testimony to the world. But as we will dwell together in unity. You know, as Psalm 133 says, as we dwell together in unity, it's a good and a pleasant thing. And, you know, that I feel that refers just not to the local church, which, of course, it's very important there, but also for the corporate body of Christ throughout the earth. As we stand together in one accord, we're going to see God do exploits in our midst, and we're going to see God give the increase as we stand together in the Spirit. And as we stand together, we're going to experience the anointing of God like never before. God said, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard," even Aaron's beard, "that went down to the skirts of his garments, like the dew of Hermon, and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So, beloved, let's get ready to blow the trumpet. God's given you a trumpet. Blow that trumpet. And those trumpets historically were made of silver, that pure metal, which signified redemption. Let's publish together the work of the Lord around the earth. Let's do all that we can to see the gospel go forth. And in our own lives, let's be let our tongues be the pen of a ready writer. Joel 2:1 declares, "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain." God said there would be terrible times in the land. And of course, in that reference in Joel, he was speaking of Israel, but we can relate it to the church. And in these last days, there are some terrible times, present as well as coming. Spiritually, I believe it's speaking of God's church also. There's a warfare going on against the anointed church of Jesus Christ. But listen, God has promised deliverance to Israel, and God has promised deliverance to his church, to Zion. Some of you listening to me today, you feel like you've been invaded in your homes, in your minds, your jobs, your family, by a whole army of locusts and caterpillars. But God said, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." Verse 25, "And I will restore to you," I've always loved this, "the years," note that, "the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." That's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? That's the Lord making that statement too. "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Beloved, oh, my prayer is that you'll be stirred today and you feel the breath of the Spirit blowing upon you. There's a lukewarmness that is like a creeping paralysis attacking many in the church today. There's an apostasy abounding in many areas of the church world today. But with this lukewarmness and paralysis, God is pouring out His Spirit. The breath of the Spirit is blowing, and there's a powerful, earth-shaking move of God, which is being fanned by the hands of God, that is bringing people into a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ like never before. That breath of the Spirit is blowing upon those coals that have nearly gone out, and that breath of the Spirit is causing a flame to ignite in hearts that have been dulled and deadened by the darkness and the oppression of the enemy. Oh, beloved, there's an earth-shaking move of God that is occurring, and you and I can be part of it as we say yes to the Lord. No longer is the church just sort of shuffling down the street with shaking hands and weak, intrepid knees, but beloved, revival is breaking out. Souls are being saved. And that's why we must do all in our power to publish the gospel of the good news around the world. Not a watered-down gospel, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preached in demonstration and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Well, that's what I'm on this broadcast to do, to share the word of the Lord with you, to know that nothing is too hard for our God, and there's nothing in your life that's insurmountable. As I began this broadcast, that slogan that Brother Glass used years and years ago, you don't have any problems that a miracle from God can't solve. God is in the miracle working business. He's not short. He's not run out. His supply is inexhaustible as you call upon His name. Lord, I just pray you will minister new hope, new strength, new anointing, new refreshing to your beloved even this day. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Praise God. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you, and I invite you to become a part of UCM Spiritual Family. The announcer in just a few moments is going to give you our mailing address, and I want you to know when you write, there's no staff member to read or answer the mail. Everything is personally handled by me. That's just the way the Lord has ordained this ministry. If it ever changes, I'll let you know, but for now, that's the way it is. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers of financial help. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass, and may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,